Hey guys, welcome back to the studio. Today we have Dan and Daniel Sikowski from New Jersey. Dan is the host of the Intrepidus podcast and the Big D podcast. We also have Daniel, his son, who is the founder of Gem Powder Coating. All right, welcome to the studio, guys.
Awesome. Thanks for having us.
Of course. So you guys were in town for the big Lions game last night.
Yep. We come, it's a tradition that me and him share. We come every year for Thanksgiving together and watch the game.
That's awesome. How was the game, Daniel?
It was good. Okay. It was good. Yeah, we came here, 3 years ago for the Bills game? That's why we're here. We're big Bills fans.
Nice.
So, but I mean, yesterday we were representing the Lions. So
that's right. I saw those sweatshirts. Those were a great display. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So you guys hit up Greektown in downtown Detroit?
Yeah, we love Greektown. We love going to Greek, getting our little gyro there and spending some time there. And
Yeah,
having a good time. It's a good couple of days, good getaway.
Absolutely. I love that tradition. You guys seem like you have a great relationship. Just to give the audience a little context, we are connected through the same business network, the Legacy Tribe, and Bedros Koulian, our coach, connected us via a mastermind not too long ago.
Correct. Yeah.
So you guys were coming into town, and it seemed like a perfect time to snag you guys for an episode of the Inner Circle.
Definitely. Yeah, we appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about all the endeavors that you've got going on. You've got quite a bit happening.
Yeah, life has definitely been extremely interesting, to say the least. I started off, as a young kid who just wanted to be different and started a business, got in the construction business. And then the industry kind of changed things and the economy crashed earlier on. Got involved in network marketing. People call it Ponzi schemes and all them different names. Yeah. But I got involved in different businesses over the years. But the one thing that I clutched and, connected well with was personal development. And being involved in personal development and being able to just watch successful people, see what they're doing, implement the things they were doing is something that has changed my life. And also learning through the process of failure because, we go to school from first grade to 12th grade for 12,000 hours and we get taught how to be average. Average people teach you how to do average things. But when you start learning about above average people and you start trying to implement that stuff in your life, you kind of fall on your face a lot because you're not used to the scale of it. So fast forward, been a business owner my entire life, never had a job. Now really focusing on the podcast and business coaching and, going down that road to share my story, help people, navigate to be their best self.
You've got a great story, and I think you're a great public speaker. I love following your social media. You have such great wisdom to share, so I appreciate that about you. And when did you become a father?
I was 22 years old when I had Daniel, young father. So I started life out very early, started business 17, and just didn't go to the bar scene, didn't do the club scene, didn't do the college thing, and, just was in business. So I started my life really early while my friends, had their kids in their 30s. Mm-hmm. Now I'm 43 years old, and, he's 20 years old, and we're able to spend time together. We're like best friends.
Yeah.
Versus me being, 60 years old and him being 20.
Yeah.
And me just wanting to sit on a recliner for the rest of my life, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So we started out early, and, I have three kids. I have Daniel, I have a son, Devin, he's 18, and I have a daughter, Alexa, she's 14.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. So also, Daniel's an entrepreneur himself, getting into the powder coating business. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you were probably inspired by your father here. Such a great role model. Yep. I love the dynamic between the two of you. You want to talk a little bit about your journey into the powder coating biz?
Yeah, so it was a business he had for a little bit. He owned it. Someone else worked for him. And he was thinking about selling it. I told him, no, let me give it a try. Let me see what I can make work here. And so for first 2 years, I would say, I worked for free, basically just to get the groove down, understand it. And then after that, started making business go crazy and started from there.
That's awesome. So break down what powder coating is exactly.
Yeah, so not a lot of people know, but so powder coating is kind of like paint, but it's in a powder form. It holds up a lot better than paint ever will. So powder coating is sprayed out through a gun as well. It just comes out in a powder form. It's done through static electricity. So let's say I have a wheel, for instance. I'll hang it on a cart. I'll ground the cart so that the wheel gets a good ground. The powder applies fairly, decently. Make sure I get coverage on every spot. And then once I'm done with that, I'll roll the cart right into the oven. And the oven basically bakes the powder onto the wheel or any part that is on the cart, and it'll form it into a solid, which will form into the wheel. Then you got your finished product.
That's awesome. So are you a one-man show, or do you have a whole team of folks?
So right now I'm a one-man show.
Okay.
I got big things coming soon.
Yeah.
Possibly a new building, new equipment, bigger equipment. start getting into a lot of commercial work now, and then I'll get a big team going, and we'll go from there.
That's amazing. Yeah, man, I wish you well on this endeavor. It sounds exciting. Yeah. I know what it's like to be a one-man show when you start up, and then boom, it just goes.
Yeah,
as long as you're committed.
Yep,
that's awesome. You got a good support behind you right here. Exactly. And I gotta ask too, like, you've had to face some adversity through the years just starting up and as successful as you are. And I know off camera, we were looking at your home gym, and you have an amazing, amazing home in New Jersey over there. And gosh, a farm and a ton of property. And you've accomplished so much. You want to share anything, any stories of?
Sure. I've lost as much, if not more, than I've gained in life. And, you know, where we are in life today is just another stepping stone. And I don't look at the things that I have. I look at the things that I've been through.
Yeah.
When I was 22 years old, you know, when Daniel was a child and when he was just born and his brother was born, we had a house. We had our biggest house, me and my ex at the time. We built our dream home, and, you know, having all this stuff, having the cars, having the houses, having a nanny, you know, we figured, oh, this is the lifestyle. You know, you chase that lifestyle, the MTV Cribs lifestyle, right? Yep. And then you realize you're working 100 hours a week for what? I think the biggest blessing that ever happened to me was the economy crashed in 2006. And I was able to, like, fire the nanny because I had to stay home because I couldn't afford it.
Right.
Get involved in network marketing and be able to watch my kids grow and do things with my kids, go to sporting events and that kind of stuff. And realize that, you know, after losing everything, I still had what was important. I still had my family, right? Yeah. After you go through these ups and downs in life, like, let's say tomorrow I lost everything, it's going to be that much easier to get it back because you've been through these hurdles up and down. I put out the episode 3, I think it was, of the Big D podcast. I literally, like, broke down my entire life from where I started to where I am. And, you know, everything happens, but in bigger, bigger steps. So, like, the adversity I'm going through today is a lot worse than it was 15 years ago, because the higher you go, the harder you fall, right? Mm-hmm. But what happens is you learn how to kind of connect with it, grow through it, and you're able to work on what I talk about, the recovery time. So, you know, things happen in our life. We get upset. You know, we stay upset for a month. We stay upset for a week. We stay upset for a year. I get upset for 5 seconds, you know, because at the end of the day, if I can't control it, it doesn't matter. But I have to figure out, all right, through this situation, what did I learn? How can I grow? How can I get to the next step? And now today I know that no matter what happens in life, it's only going to take me to the next episode. And I have to use every challenge that I go through to get to that next place.
Absolutely. That's amazing. Also, on the heels of that, you're a life coach.
Yeah.
You offer coaching. Yes. That's awesome. Talk a little bit about what took you down that path.
So I grew up, you know, in just a standard home, standard parents. You know, I had standard jobs. And, you know, we were not above, you know, we were below average lifestyle. And I just wanted more, and I wanted to do more. And what I like doing now is using all the experiences I had in life and all the things to help that person who wants to go to the next step. So both of my podcasts actually talk about, my one podcast talks about the mindset framework. And then our other podcast talks about, you know, we bring on business owners and we talk about the adversity. So intrepidus is the Latin word of fearless. We just say, hey, how did you overcome that fear? So many people want to do big things, but the problem is they give up too early, right? Yeah. So when you were a kid, like, you think about the kind of car you wanted when you were 5 years old, you wanted a monster truck. You probably wanted a monster truck and a Lamborghini, and the monster truck was going to pull a Lamborghini on a trailer, right?
Right.
And all of a sudden, 17 years old, you get a car and your parents are like, hey, you're lucky. You know, you're like, roll down windows. What's this shit? You know? And at the end of the day, they're like, hey, you, as long as you're getting from point A to point B. So the mentality that we're adapted in as kids is like, hey, you're lucky to have this.
Right.
But they don't realize that if you want to do more and have more, that luck just needs to expand.
Yeah.
So we start challenging ourselves to a lower standard when we become adults. So I try to help people, no matter where they are in life, to bring back that childlike mentality. What did you want? What did you dream of? What did you want to become? It's never too late. And you have to get out of that conditioning and that place that you are, back to that place that you were.
Yeah. I can reflect a lot on my childhood and flash back to that, even right down to the car. It was like just being grateful to have what I had to get from A to B.
Yeah.
Yes, I can definitely relate. I think that's great. And now I was also reading a little bit about your bio, through your bio, and you started out in the fitness industry also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when I was younger, I was a heavy kid growing up, and then I was introduced to, I played football in high school. I got introduced to, like, the gym world and the real, like, bodybuilding world at 16. Lost a ton of weight, started getting into, like, the competition world, and I had an injury in my early 20s. I ripped my quad off. I actually just had both of my knees replaced. But I realized that I was in construction and I was bodybuilding. I was going to the gym at 4 o'clock in the morning and 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Most bodybuilders I knew, unless they were complete pros and in the top 10, they were all broke living in apartments.
Yeah.
So I had to make a decision. You know, what lifestyle do I want? What do I want to do? Where am I trying to go? And I realized that it wasn't something I was going to pursue. Number one, I was short. And number two, I just didn't have the drive for that because I wanted to do bigger things faster. And I didn't want to be in that space. So I still work out. I still do what I got to do. But I got out of that bodybuilding world just because I just knew that if I wanted to do bigger things and help other people, I was going to be very limited in that space.
Sure. Yeah. No, that makes sense because that's a whole commitment. That's a lifestyle.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's like feeding the machine. That's a lot of work. I have a lot of friends in the bodybuilding space and within the business network, Legacy Tribe, it's a lot of gym owners and things like that.
Remember Flex Lewis's story?
Yeah.
You know, same thing. Like you're sleeping on the couch.
Yeah.
I trained with him years ago at a local gym with an old pro. And, you know, I watched him, you know, go through his years and he struggled. I mean, he's doing fantastic now. He's doing big things, but he's pro. He won Mr. Olympia.
Yeah.
You know, and to get to that point, just like Jay Cutler and some of those other guys, is, you know, like that's a whole life that you're taking 20, 30 years and doing everything you need to do. Look at Rodney Coleman. He can't even walk now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. It's a lot to carry.
Yeah. Destroy your body.
Yeah.
You know, but some of these guys done things that are so dynamic, but it's the select few, a very small percentage.
Absolutely. That's definitely the top 1%.
Yeah.
You know, I think too, you're smart in that you're diverse. You've diversified all your things. You have so many different facets and so many different businesses.
Yeah.
Talk about some of the other business ventures that you have going on.
Yeah, so I started off in the construction industry. I still am in the construction industry now. I'm trying to get rid of it all and put it behind me because it's just, you know, when you're passionate about something, it's exciting, but the whole industry has changed and the passion has gone away. And I feel like my passion now is to coach people and do things, but that industry has taken me to meet people, lead people. Then I got involved in network marketing. I was a guest on a Celebrity Apprentice a couple times. So I was able to meet a lot of significant people in my life, and that always takes you to the next step. It takes you to the next business, the next opportunity. So for me, you know, I wake up every morning and I talk about three things I'm grateful for, you know, my family, God, and the opportunities that God has ahead. Right. So all the opportunities that come my way, I try to take them, you know, they're presented to us for a reason.
Yep.
And I feel like most people in life don't succeed because they don't challenge their opportunities and they don't seize their opportunities. They feel like they're not good enough. Listen, you have to suck before you're good.
Yeah.
So no matter what you're doing, if you're not good at it, nobody was good at it when they started.
Right.
So home building industry, wrote a book years ago, have a second book that's going to be coming out soon. And I'm just trying to use all that stuff and, you know, get involved in real estate and different things, you know, just use all this stuff as outlets. Because my first business, when I lost everything, when the economy crashed in 2006, I was trying to make $1 million in one space. And what I learned at 25, 26 years old, however old I was back then, was how about if the next time around I find 10 outlets to make $100,000 a year, and if four of them go away, I'm still making $600,000 a year. So how do I diversify myself to have multiple streams of income, multiple distribution centers, and create wealth? And then, you know, if something happens to one, let it go.
Yeah.
And then focus on the other ones. So I won't take on things if I'm in the middle of stuff. You know, I'll keep doing what I'm going to do. But if there's an investment opportunity or whatnot, I'll look into it. And if it makes sense, if it makes money, it makes sense.
Right? Yeah, I like that. I like, I'm into that too. It has to make sense for me. And I don't like biting off more than I can chew. And you want to make one thing good while you're doing that. Yeah. I like that. Talk a little bit about your experience on Celebrity Apprentice. I did not know this about you. So that, like, my antenna went up. I was like, what?
Yeah, so
Big D.
Because of the company I was with back then, our company was on the Celebrity Apprentice, and we had to be judges for the celebrities. So they were marketing our company, doing different commercials, and we were able to meet the celebrities and do stuff and meet Trump. It was pretty cool.
Cool. That's awesome. What an experience, man. So what's going on in Jersey? Like, what do you guys got going on out there as far as culture? And I know you're a big community builder, and, you know, you've got a lot to offer your community. What do you do to stay active in your community in that area?
Basically, Jersey is a very diverse place. There's so many different angles. Like when we tell people, hey, we live on a farm, they're like in Jersey, and they think about like getting off the plane in Newark Airport and seeing all these high rises. They don't realize there's farms in Jersey, right? So I grew up in the suburbs, and you know, I grew up in an apartment. growing up, and then we moved to a city. For me, I just try to be active everywhere I can to help everyone I can and just participate. Now that my kids are older, when my kids were in sports and everything, I would do, you know, functions and whatnot. Now I just try to support communities and whatnot, you know, how I can. But my biggest thing now is with our Intrepidus podcast is bringing in all of the business owners in Jersey, whether they're brand new in business or been in business for a long time, because Jersey's so big and there's so many people and there's so many opportunities. I mean, you literally can get wealthy in your zip code, even if there's 1,000 people doing the same thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so how do we help that next guy, that next girl be successful by offering something for free to help them get out of that place where they are to where they want to be? So I utilize that right now as my avenue to help people in my community, because when I put someone on a podcast or, you know, have a guest on a podcast, people see them. They don't really know their story. We try to tell them their story. So many people are shy. They don't want to talk about what they've been through. Man, I'll tell you everything. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, like, if I can tell you my entire story and one little thing helps you, I did my job.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you're very inspiring. Like I said, I like to follow you on social media. You have a lot of good insights and wisdom to share. And I got to ask Daniel, like, what was it like growing up with such a positive leader as a role model?
Yeah, I mean, I've been through a lot growing up, like with my parents and the divorce and everything. But I mean, other people's had it worse. That's how I see it.
Yeah.
Other people have had it worse. So, I mean, I have nothing really to complain about.
Yeah.
But I mean, regardless, growing up with my dad and seeing him, how he did things, how he didn't chase after a lot of things for money, but he chased after it to either help people or help our family. That's really what truly inspired me. And then, I mean, also a big thing was just seeing him being a business owner. I never wanted to work for anyone. Never wanted to work, have someone tell me what to do, what time I had to be at work, when I can't leave, when I can't go on vacation, when I can't do this, can't do that. So that's like something that spiked me wanting to own my own business and do my own thing. And he's definitely helped out a lot with that.
That's awesome. I can relate to everything you said, too. I had a great dad. I mean, we can all always judge our parents. You can judge your parents. You can judge your upbringing. Yeah. I can judge mine. But at the end of the day, I'm pretty grateful.
Yeah.
So I had a great dad, too. Yeah. So that's awesome. How about some adversity starting up your business, like kind of taking the reins over?
He's going through it now.
Yeah, right. I was just going to say, are you taking over an already established business and kind of like, are you facing any hurdles with?
Yeah, so I guess my biggest thing right now is my reason for moving.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, we all want to grow, and we all have our limits on where we can grow depending on where we're at. So, I mean, my building now is significantly small for my type of industry. It's about 1,000 square feet, 1,100 square feet. I really can't fit that big of an oven and a booth in there because I need space in between them. I need room to work. And, I mean, a cart could only get as big, too. And you can't. It's not like you could pull a part outside and then push it into another bay because what if it's raining? And I'm screwed for that day.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm looking for a new building now. And I'm looking to just slap a big old oven in there, a booth, and start doing bigger work.
That's awesome. But, like, I mean, do you have an area in mind specifically where you want your dream building to be?
Yeah. So my biggest thing was, A, I want something close to the house just because of the area I'm in. There's not many powder coaters around there, maybe within 30, 40 minutes of me.
Cool.
Which is like pretty good. There's one powder coater near me. Where my new location may be, which is Jackson, New Jersey, is where I'm looking at right now. There's one significantly close, but he only does wheels. So, I mean, he's basically off the charts for what I'm trying to do. I was looking to stay somewhere near 195, which is in Jersey. It's like a main highway. Takes you right into, like, Philadelphia, Trenton area, or takes you right all the way down to the shore. And that's great for what I want to do because all these big companies, I mean, they have all these big semi-trucks coming down the road with a bunch of equipment or a bunch of parts that need to be done. It's a great route for them to come right on, hop right off of 195, drop the parts off, and get right back on. So it seems like it was pretty ideal for me because there's a lot of traffic flow coming in and out of there.
Yeah, you got a good eye for it, sounds like. And tapping into that commercial space sounds like you're right on track.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
let's tap into his adversity. I challenge his adversity. So he talked to you before about he worked for free for 2 years. So when he was in high school and his following year, he's like, yeah, I want to do this. I want to do this. And, you know, when your kids are young, like, I need money. I need money. I need money. I go, well, you're not going to get anything. You're going to get gas money and you're going to get lunch money and you're going to get what you need and you're going to work for free.
Yeah.
Because you're going to learn what it's like to have a business, own a business, and grow a business under the pressure. So, I mean, there'd be days he's like, oh, I got no money. I'm like, you got fuel in your truck, right?
Yeah.
You got a roof over your head. You got the clothes you need. You're eating. You're good. So I put him through a very big challenge in his first couple of years to see if he could handle it. And most people would have quit. And then when he graduated high school, then I said, you know what? take the keys, it's yours. So I put him through that because if I didn't do that to him today, now a couple of years later, he wouldn't know how to face challenges. He wouldn't know. He would just be like, oh, this is great. I'm making money. I have this. I have that, you know, versus like saying, you know, we're going to pay the bills. We're going to do everything that we need to do. You just work.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, all right, hey, the company's yours and so are all the bills.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Right.
Right.
So it's like I set him up because I wanted to put him through that place where he knew that how to deal with the obstacle and the opportunity.
I dig that. So did you understand that process as you were coming up, or were you a little resentful?
As I was coming up, I mean, in the beginning, I was like, what's going on here?
Yeah, yeah.
And then, I mean, going in on what he was saying, like, I mean, if he just gave me the money, I started grabbing money out of the account, started paying for this and that, stuff that I didn't need. The moment he did give me the keys and tell me, all right, the bills are all yours, I guarantee that company would have went down like that.
Yeah.
Would have went right down.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the fact that he did that is what definitely helped a lot.
It's tough to recognize when you're because I have two older brothers and we grew up, our dad was our first employer and we had like they had paper up. They're 5 years older than me, but I was, you know, no man left behind was my dad's policy. Mm-hmm. And so like at 4 a.m, like we were rolling those papers. I was right along with them. They were Detroit newsboys because we were downriver Detroit. And so but I was right behind them for everything. And he kept track of any money he ever gave us. Like by the time we got jobs, he had a big roll top desk and he had a binder for each of us. Huh. And like when we were of age of making some money, like he gave us our bill. Like we had to pay all that back. Yeah. You know what I mean? Wow. Like when he doled us out any kind of like allowance or anything like that. So he basically put us through kind of like same thing you did. It was like a boot camp training for life. And then like by the time we were 15, like we all started early working. Like I think it's 15 when you can get your worker's permit. So we got our worker's permits, and then I had two jobs. Like I was more like focused on that than I was scholastics. And so my brothers too.
But they were all the same as this.
Yeah. And so like, I mean, that was my gig. And so like I thrive in a workspace and I was always a rock star employee and I liked working. I thrived in that space and
And people would always say something to you about how much you worked, how much you did this and asking why you're not around, right?
Yeah, I used to work 80 hours a week when I could. Like when I turned 18, I was like round the clock and my brothers were, you know, like that too. And, you know, our dad too, like he, when I look back now, I reflect and especially around the holidays, I get all sentimental and stuff. And one of my brothers passed away and the other one's done some time in prison and stuff like that. And so I reflect back when we were little and how hard we worked and like, and how at times we would resent our dad for making us work and he pushed us so hard and sometimes it felt like unbearable, but like it was so good too. Like he would, you know, just randomly, you know, before we're going out the door, like I need you to rotate your tires real quick just to see if we could, we knew how to do it. Yeah. You know what I mean? He'd always keep us fresh doing stuff like that, making sure that we had all of our safety stuff. Like he was good. He taught us that stuff. It stayed with us. And I do appreciate all the, you know, everything that you've offered for your kids too.
I'd wake my boys up early, like every weekend when they were off, always make them work, go in the yard, do something, go do this. Hey, I got to go to my shop. We're going to do this. Oh, you know, like I'm a little bit lenient on my daughter because she's a girl and I don't want her to be a slave, but like, you know, she still does what she has to do. If I need her to come out, she'll come out. She does the dishes. Like that's her job and whatnot. But, you know, for my boys, I wanted them to learn hard work. I think for a girl, it's different. Like she needs to know, like, how to run the house and how to do stuff. And my daughter's got an entrepreneurial mindset, but she's still young and I don't want to like slave her because I don't want her to become a tomboy.
Right.
I don't want her to be like working in dirt and getting her fingers dirty, but I want her to see what we do. And she always talks about how hard we work, how hard he works. So she understands that because that's now grooming her for the type of man she wants to marry, right?
Yeah.
Number one. Number two, my boys always worked hard and they understand the process of hard work, getting dirty and doing what you need to do. And then you look at some of their friends and they don't do shit.
Well, dude,
play video games.
I got to tell you, morals and ethics. It seems like these days I keep running into those problems, running into like my parents just instilled those things in us. Work ethic. I'm not morally flexible. I'm not loyally flexible. I understand loyalty and work ethic, and I know you do too. And I know just by watching, you know, your social media, I think that those are gifts and values that you have inherently, and so do your kids. I know that. I think that that's awesome. And with we didn't have a sister, so it was just me and my three brothers, and we had to learn all that stuff at 10. We had to learn like, and then we had to cross train each other. So like, just keeping the house clean to help our mom, we had to do like we had to learn how to do laundry and pack our own lunches and, you know, make meals and different things like that, learn how to cook. Because they were setting us up for life skills as we moved out. Because they told us, like, you're out when you're 18, even though we all left at 17. We were like, we wanted to get out sooner than later. But, like, because they were so strict. But I can look back now and I appreciate that. But I think I like your work ethic and your values, and I think that that speaks volumes to you as a business owner and anybody that's going to come your way for any kind of coaching or even construction work. I think, like, I can relate to what you're saying because I have multiple homes, and I hire various people for different things, and kind of that old school mentality, work ethic is out the window right now, and it's everything.
They
is
all want
changed.
Big money and no work. Yeah.
Right. It's the what is the the few. You're wearing it right now. Outwork everybody, but everybody wants to eat, but nobody wants to work. Yeah, nobody wants to hunt. Yeah. My God. Yeah. I mean, I have that magnet up on my refrigerator, and when they came out with that, I was like, ain't that the truth? Because everybody wants to be on payroll, but nobody wants to work.
Exactly.
That's frustrating to see, and it's like, I enjoy a good days of hard work. I like putting in the effort.
It gets stressful at times. There's definitely some days where you're like, this sucks.
Yes.
Like, man, today just sucks. But then the day after that or the day before, that was amazing. So
exactly.
That's how it goes.
And, like, I'm excited for you as a young person getting into the entrepreneurial spirit and space because it's so fun. Well, I got into it later in life. So I had worked for another organization for almost 20 years, and then I started my business in 2016. So I'm going on 9 years, and every day was new, and it seemed like the days were long, but the years flew by all of a sudden. It was just like, holy shit, 9 years? I'm almost coming up on a decade.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would tell myself, I don't know, what's that old saying? Like, they say, every year it changed. It was like, if you made it 5 years, like, you're good, you're solid.
And then the five-year crunch.
Then
now
I would
years.
Hear it was six,
ten,
and then I hear it was eight. I was like, what is it? I don't know. Yeah. It's all
25 years in, you know? It's effort. It don't get any easier. No. You just have to change your mindset about it, you know?
Yeah.
And you got to practice gratitude. Like, so he's talking about, you know, the bad days. You got to see every good that comes out of every bad day. Yeah. There's always something to learn every day, no matter what. A lady hit my one truck one time. She literally slammed into the back of my truck. I got a car. I'm like, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, everyone, what? You know, people go nuts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what's that going to do?
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Man, I got to tell you too, like, you have, like, all these years in the entrepreneurial space and, you know, you're a big dude. Once you get to know you, you know what I mean? You're not as intimidating as you seem. You
everyone
know,
says everyone that. Says, right. All my friends, everyone says it.
Oh, you're scared of you
your
when
dad,
I first
your
met
dad's
you.
So scary.
Yeah, well, like, he's a big dude. Yeah. He's Big D. They don't call him Big
just
D.
Don't piss him off. You'll
right,
be good.
Exactly. But I mean, like, I got to ask because I was always a very calm-natured person before before I started my business. And it was just like certain things would flip my switch.
Yeah.
And it was just like, whoa, I had met sides of myself I had never met before. And so I found myself into doing different things, just different practices like jujitsu or sauna and walking. I'm not a runner. The only time I run is from the police or the
too.
Loving arms
me
of
too.
A pizza. Right. So I just like I like to go for a walk, clear my head, put on an audiobook, something, listen to some music or workout. What are some things like when you to get in that space? I know you had to have like gotten yourself there, you know.
You need to inspect what you expect, right?
Yeah.
So like being in business, you have to realize, like, I mean, you have a great crew here, right? Just talking to them for a couple minutes, you could tell, you know, your girl's like, hey, you guys ready to film? Like, she's on it. You know what I mean? But then there's other people who are so lax, and they just come in to get paid, and they do what they got to do. But again, like, we expect things out of people that we have to realize they're never going to show up for.
Right.
Right? So the reason why you're a business owner and the reason why you are where you are is because you are willing to take that extra step. And there's just certain people in this world that will never, ever, ever want to go to that next step. And you have to be okay with that.
Yeah.
So his good friend, like, wants for his dad to be successful. He wants his dad to do this. I'm talking to this kid. Yesterday, 35% of my phone battery went on this kid yesterday on Thanksgiving. I'm like, bro, you just wasted 35% of my phone battery. I'm retarded. And he's just talking about how much he wants his dad to do this, his dad to do this. I go, bro, listen, your dad is not going to change because of you.
Right.
Your dad's going to change if your dad wants to change. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to do it. And you're going to sit there and blast your head on the wall day in and day out because you want something different for somebody else. And the same thing is in business. Like, you bring employees in and you want them to do things and you expect them to do things, but people are only as good as they are.
Yeah.
But then take 30% of that shit away because once they get comfortable, they're not going to be that good anymore.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
And that's just the nature of life. So you have to work on understanding that no matter who it is, you expected this and you inspected this.
Yes.
Right? So everyone in today's world, you're talking about now today's society, everyone wants to get paid a ton of money and do nothing.
Yeah.
You know, for me, it's like, hey, listen, you got to prove yourself. But I do know that I have limitations because if somebody was as good as me, they'd have their own business.
Yeah.
And the biggest problem in this world with business owners is they go, if I just had three more of me, they wouldn't be working for you.
Right.
You know what I mean? At the end of the day, they got their own business.
Exactly, yes.
You know, you're not going to get three more of you, and you wouldn't want to pay three of you.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, but you have to find out what people are good at and good for versus trying to be like, oh, I need you to do this, but you really suck at this.
Right.
But I need you to do this. No, what is that person good at, and how can they excel at that? Because whatever they're good at, keep them in that space.
That's what I like doing too. You are right on it too. And I went through that when I was starting up because I had went from just being my own employee to 100 employees. And I would get these great people that I wanted to promote, but they didn't want to promote.
Yep.
And I had to accept that. But I also experienced that for the 20 years prior because I was in leadership and I did all the hiring and mentoring and training and all of that. And I would meet such great folks where I'm like, oh my gosh, you have so much potential. I'm like, you should be in management. But they were totally fine being a foot soldier, which I think is great because we need foot soldiers, right? You got to have a whole team. There's a place for everybody on the team. And so I would do that, but I would focus on gifts and, you know, vulnerabilities. It was like, where are your strengths? Where are your vulnerabilities? And kind of capitalize on that, but giving people autonomy to kind of see where they, because you could write out a job description and anybody can come in and get the job. Like, I'll read the job description and sign it, but do their gifts lie within that description? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, because you want to set somebody up for success. Yeah. You know what I mean? You want them to go to the next level if they're willing to go.
Yeah.
And so that means kind of stepping back. And I love everything you just said.
Yeah, even people who work for me, like, you know, listen, when they suck at what they do, I go, you guys are really sucking at what you do. Like, I know you can do better. I've seen you do better. You know, what are we doing here? Like, the problem is like, when you try to say, hey, I need you to do X, Y, and Z, they'll do X, Y, and Z, but then they'll go back to A, B, and C.
Right.
And it's like, because it's comfortable for them.
Yeah.
And you have to understand that you as a business owner and you as a leader, that's why you always have to step in, give them the tasks that they need to do, correct them. I'm not afraid to tell you you suck at something because if you do, you do.
Yeah.
And I'm not afraid to tell you, hey, you're not doing your job right. You know, what the hell is going on? And communication sucks because I don't want to be like, hey, you know, like you're a really good employee and like you're the best. And no, because then they're just like, oh, this is their best. You know, listen, if people need correction, they need correction. It's like if someone's in a gym, a kid is in a gym, and he's like doing bench press and he's slamming it off his chest. I'm like, the fuck are you doing, bro?
Right.
You
know what I mean?
Oh, this is what I'm supposed to do. No, that's not what you're supposed to do. And then, you know, some of these young kids don't want to hear it because they're watching videos. But, you know, then some of the old timers, you know, oh, thank you. You know, if there's a guy who's just starting to work out at 50 years old and you help him out, they really appreciate it. It's that mentality shift, you know? So some people will appreciate you trying to make them better. But a vast majority of people won't.
And they don't want to hear it. Yeah. No one wants to receive it a lot of times. And I think, I think you make a good point. I think it's interesting, too. I was in a conversation with someone the other day just about hearing influencers that are telling everybody to quit their 9-to-5 and start their own business.
Not that easy.
It's not that easy. And it's kind of scary to hear that because there's actual, like, you're looking to build a team, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm looking to build a team. And I like investing in my team. Like, I want everyone to come along. And, like, I want to find your gifts and, like, celebrate it. Let's go to the next level. I think that when people are following certain influencers and they're hearing this advice and then they're, you know, they've got a family or, you know, or they're a single parent and they're going to quit their 9-to-5. Not everybody's equipped also to be in the entrepreneurial space. Yeah. I think that's kind of like alarming when I see it on social media.
Yeah. That's like that saying, like, four quarters are better than 100 pennies. I mean, you might be paying four people a lot more money than you'd be paying 100 people. But I mean, at the end of the day, your cash flow is going to be better. Your workflow is going to be better. Your stuff's going to come out better, whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
Like you, maybe with your editing team or anything like that. I mean, you pay one guy, two guy, three guys, but you give them a good amount of money for what they're doing. I mean, it's going to come out flawless.
Yeah, right.
So.
Right. Well, I just think that getting back to just kind of people being self-aware. I mean, you can be self-aware of people coming onto your team, but you get people that are not self-aware enough to know. You know, I'm sure you've had people that have worked on your team before that think they can do it better than you and they're better than the boss and you know what I mean? And they're going to run your company better than you can, but that's not true. You know what I mean? It's just their interpretation of themselves, which is a little bit flawed because they get caught up in their ego or whatever it is. And it's like they haven't taken a step back and kind of assessed where their gifts lie.
Yeah.
They're just worried about criticizing you or where you lack from their perspective. Yeah. And then maybe they decide to leave you and then they go start up their own thing and, you know, it falls flat and they're not successful. Tanks. Right. It's hard. People just kind of, my point is that just, I think people need to be self-aware and kind of like figure out where your strengths lie if you're going to take a leap like that. Yeah. Because it also take, like, are you disciplined? Are you committed? Because I was like, you know, you have to be so committed and so disciplined and be willing to fall on your face,
all day, every day,
yeah. right? While it happens. And I had that startup. I slept on the air mattress. I slept on a couch. I did all that stuff. And it's not fun. It's embarrassing at times. And you got to keep going. It takes years.
You talked about the influencers. I think these kids have to be careful because everyone on YouTube and TikTok and all this bullshit are making all this money. And look at these people. Like, I mean, they're not giving you any value.
Right.
They're not giving you anything to change your life. You know, this kid's got a zillion followers on YouTube and he's got a Lamborghini and he's got a McLaren and he's got this. But what's he doing for you? And I think the different mindset of understanding like what we don't do what we do to buy a McLaren. We don't do what we do to buy a yacht. We do what we do to instill value in people.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, like if we could help one person, we know we did our job. And hey, if we get paid for it, we get paid for it. But our job and our goal is to help people. All these other people that are influencers and the majority of people follow today and spend all their time watching bring absolutely no fucking value.
There's no value. And also, too, there's a lot of smoke and mirrors to be said for that. People rent space.
Yep.
They rent cars. They rent planes or, you know what I mean? Or they know people where they film in these spaces and pass it off like it's theirs. Yep. And people get caught up in that comparison game where then all of a sudden they feel like less than. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's a horrible rabbit hole to fall down. Yep. Then you're experiencing depression. Yeah, that's a deep space in the social media realm, I think. What do you think are good hallmarks to look for in someone that is launching a podcast or kind of getting into that influencer space, so to speak, if that's what they even call it anymore?
Well, number one, what kind of value are they bringing?
Yeah.
Number two, what are they looking for from their audience? And number three, what are the types of people that they're bringing on and what are they sharing? You know, because I think the biggest thing is what you take in and give out is going to be what people remember you for.
Yeah.
And the younger generations, and people watch things for entertainment, right? So what we're doing right now is not entertainment. It's education.
Yeah.
And we've all spent 12 years of school, and we hated it, so we don't want to get educated. But when you can educate people on things that are going to change their life, then they tend to listen. Or when that person's driving, they throw YouTube on, and they hear this episode or whatnot, and they're like, oh, now I'm ready. So, you know, someone hit me up, and I was doing a coaching call on the way up here, on the way up to Detroit, and this guy had a coaching call with me, I don't know, 3 weeks ago, and he didn't show up. I didn't message him back.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you scheduled a call with me. I was on my treadmill waiting for you for 45 minutes. You know, that's when I'm going to do my call. You didn't show up. And then just a few days ago, he's like, hey, man, I'm ready. I'm sorry. You know what I mean? Everything's good. And I was telling him in the car, I go, you know, you just weren't ready. You didn't show up because you weren't ready.
Right.
And now you're ready. And the guy was crying on the phone, you know, because I literally told him his reality. And nobody else tells him that. And, you know, what are you going to do? And he has a nonprofit. He had a daughter that got killed. And I go, why aren't you using this nonprofit? And he's got two other daughters he has full custody of that he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't want them to get pregnant young. He doesn't want them to become drug addicts. I go, you have a nonprofit that you're doing nothing with. You have all these followers. I believe his daughter's name was Hannah. Don't get me wrong. Haley.
He's got, and I think he said somewhere like 15,000 or like 20,000 followers.
20,000 followers. I go, why aren't you doing push-ups for Haley? Like, go to local gyms and do, like, fundraising push-ups for Haley, 10 push-ups. You go do it. Your daughters go do it. You do it for other people, for your nonprofit. Like,
go to the local church down the road. They'll help out. Local church down the road.
They'll help you. The people will do stuff. And then you will become somebody in your area. Not only that, you're going to influence your two daughters.
Yeah.
And you're going to show them how to participate in life goals.
Yeah.
And now you have a nonprofit that you can get paid from, right? And you can experience something better versus sitting on the couch and feeling bad for yourself. Nobody gives a shit how you feel.
Right.
Nobody feels bad for you. You feel bad for you. You know, it's like his friend the other day is texting me something. I go, I don't feel bad for you. No one feels bad for me. Right. Get off your ass and do what you got to do.
You gotta make it happen. Exactly. I do agree. I got misunderstood on Facebook. I shared a meme. It was like a reshare that I had gotten a lot of likes from 4 years ago or something like that. I reshared it and then it was... It just got misunderstood, but it was like just the point of it was just work harder. Nobody cares, work harder. Yeah, exactly. Like one of those types of deals. Like, yeah. Like
I have that on the back of my construction.
Yeah, so. Right? Yeah. I mean, I wasn't trying to be harsh with anything. Like, you know, the point was it's just you got to put in the work.
Yeah.
Like, don't complain. Just
there's always things we'll have sympathy for.
Yeah.
There's always something that's like,
of course,
that like we can relate to, or it's just like, damn, like I can only imagine how you feel, but it's like,
the message wasn't don't reach out.
Exactly.
You know, of course reach out. Exactly. To
think about the person who got butthurt about that, though. Yeah. It's the person who's not working harder.
Right.
You know, it was like, I work hard. But I tell people, it's not about how many hours you work. It's not about how many hours you show up. What's the value that you're bringing to the hour? Yeah. I can get more done in 2 hours than you can get done all day because of my focus.
Right.
What do you bring? At the end of the day, what have you done all day to be accomplished and self-accomplished? And when you lay down at night, What could you have done better versus like, hey, I showed up for my 8 hours, give me my check.
Yeah.
You know, oh, I worked some overtime. You know, everyone now wants to chase the dollar. Oh, they worked Thanksgiving. They got triple time. So it's time with your family. So you're chasing a buck.
Yeah.
You know, but if you're chasing value versus chasing a buck, totally different life.
Yeah. I think that you make a great coach. And I think your client there is pretty lucky to have you. I think the master appears when the student is ready.
That's exactly what I told him on the phone. Exactly what I
it's
told
true.
Him.
It's true. I found that to be true, like throughout my journey in jiu-jitsu and in Tai Chi and different things that I was doing. It was like I would seed plant years prior, you know what I mean, to do things that intimidated me or get me out of my comfort zone, skydiving, different things like that.
I just did that.
You did?
Skydiving.
What'd you think?
Yeah, oh, that was great. Yeah. You would never do
I'll
it.
I will never do it.
Oh, my God. Maybe you will. You never know, man. I'm telling you. I had
it was great. I'll jump off the back of a boat or something.
I get it. No, I get it. I never thought I would skydive, and I did it, and it was amazing.
You would do it again, right?
It's kind of intimidating, but it wasn't like what I thought it was going to be, because I thought it was going to be like that roller coaster feeling.
Yeah.
It just was not.
Yeah, you're just floating in like midair, and it's just like,
it was like the wind was pushing you up. Yeah, you weren't coming down.
Crazy.
It was cool. It was unique.
Crazy. I'll ride 100 miles per hour on a motorcycle, no problem. You know, whatever. You know, 70 miles an hour on a jet ski. I don't need to fly, jump out of a plane.
Everyone's got their thing. I was trying to stare death in the face. I had a brother. Yeah. My brother passed away on Friday the 13th, and you know, the superstition and all that.
Yeah.
And every now and again, I think we have one coming up in December, a Friday the 13th. And to find somewhere to skydive. So I ended up turning that day.
Just throw a black cat at the plane.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I was trying to let go of the superstitions, though. Exactly. I'll jump tandem with a black cat and a Jason mask.
So you just said something. The student is when a student is ready, the master appears, right? Or I told him when a student is ready, the teacher appears. So what's interesting is, and most people don't understand this in the world of success and entrepreneurship, in school, like let's say you're in fifth grade to 12th grade, if you copy what somebody else does, what's that called? Plagiarism.
Right.
In the world of success, if you copy what somebody else does, it's called brilliance. So we learned a quote from somebody else that thousands of people say, and we both said it in the last 48 hours, right? Because someone brilliant said something and we adapted it, we stole it and used it, and we didn't get in trouble. We don't have a lawsuit.
Right.
So when you find people of significance and people who have done big things and you literally mimic what they do, you plagiarize what they do, you're going to have what they have.
Yeah.
But we're so scared of copying.
Right.
You know, versus, hey, if they've done it, let me just figure out what they've done, you know? Yep. So if we wanted to sit down with Oprah right now, it would cost us $10,000 an hour to sit down with her to get her advice.
Right.
You know, but if we wanted to talk to a broke guy, he'd take 5 buses down in Detroit, you know, every bus, and tell us what we should do and what we shouldn't do, and the guy don't got no money, right?
Right.
So broke people will go a million miles to tell you what you can't, but when you find successful people and are willing to share through a book, through a podcast, through YouTube, through whatever, and you literally adapt what they take in and you suck that in and you push it out, you're going to get the same results.
Yeah. I think, too, that there's a big difference between like a blatant copycat and inspiration. I think like there's a difference. You know what I mean? I'm inspired by a lot of people. You know what I mean? I think that inspiration goes a long way. There's a lot of books and a lot of leaders that I've been inspired by that it's not, you know what I mean? You develop from those things. Yeah.
I'm right there with you. I mean, I'm inspired by another powder coater.
Yeah.
Like 10 times bigger than me. And he's doing all these crazy things, been in business for 20 something years. I don't see him as competition.
Right.
He's nowhere close to it. I look up to this guy. I take advice from this guy. I talk to this guy all the time. I ask him, what should I be doing here? What should I be doing there? How could I make this right?
Yeah.
What kind of equipment should I be using? I mean, I see the guy as another inspiration. Yeah, he tells me what to do.
It's inspiration, yeah. And then you take that inspiration, you create it into your own. Yep. You craft your own thing out of
it. He says, listen, let's meet up next week when we're both not working. The guy like is taking on to him to basically be his apprentice.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm going to show you. Because when you treat people with respect and you see value in them, they give you value back. But when you see someone as a threat.
Yeah. I dig that. I like mentorship and mentoring. I'm a mentor, and I like being a mentee just as much as I like being a mentor, and I like sharing information. It's like in the podcast space we were talking off camera before we got rolling here. It's like, man, if I got anything I can share with you, I'm happy to do so, and I know you are too. Mm-hmm. So it goes both ways, and I mean, I just want to help people and see people succeed too. I like what you're doing with your podcast, The Intrepidus, and the Big D podcast. You have a lot of value in just this little bit we've done here. It's like, I know that some people will be inspired. I've been inspired the whole time, and I think that everything happens for a reason. I'm so glad you guys came into town, because I get in a funk around the holidays. Yeah. It is like not my favorite time. I had a lot of,
I despise the holidays. So yeah, I stay busy.
It is not my jam, and so I'm trying to stay busy. And you know, I mentioned off camera too, I got to go see my godson yesterday and had a great time with him. He's 10, and he brought me back down and got me to have some fun. And then you guys today, like, I feel uplifted and inspired today. So I'm so happy that you guys are here and bring me some peace this holiday season.
Yeah. Well, most holidays you're surrounded by mediocrity, you know what I mean? And like, when you want to level up and be somewhere else, you're sitting around a table where people were talking about the past. No one was talking about the future.
Exactly.
So you don't want to be there.
Yeah.
You know, then you got people who don't purpose the holidays right. You know, like I talked about Christmas coming up, people go broke to buy things for people to be happy for 30 minutes. For what? That's not what it's about.
Exactly.
Thanksgiving was yesterday. You didn't buy any gifts.
Right. Yeah.
Christmas is the same day. It's the birth of Jesus. It's not Thanksgiving with gifts.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's a time to be grateful, but people put themselves in such a stressful point of life for the next 30 days that they literally like don't know what to do, credit card debt and all this stuff, just because they want to make someone else happy. Make yourself happy.
Yeah.
Surround yourself with the right people. Do the right things. You shouldn't have to give someone something.
Exactly.
And something my dad said all the time, which like always stuck with me, is it's a holiday, not a holla week, holla month, holla year. Just one day.
Yeah.
But I mean, why do you need one day to go see your family or be grateful about something? I mean, shouldn't you be grateful all the time?
This is a great point.
Or shouldn't you see your family all the time?
Yeah. I mean, you can.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, exactly.
You can always give them a call. Hey, what are you doing? Or, hey, let's go grab something to eat.
Yep.
I mean, it's not like, oh, yeah, I'll see you in Christmas.
That's kind of how I operate with my parents and my family, too. We get together when we get together because we can do it anytime.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't have to be on that day.
Yep. Yeah.
It doesn't. So I appreciate that wisdom. Hey, what do you guys got cooking for the new year? Like, what is something that I don't really do New Year's resolutions. I start 3 months in advance. My birthday is December 22nd. So I always start 90 days in advance. That's kind of my new year is my birthday. So I always do like a, what I call a performance improvement plan, like a self audit. I do 90 days ahead of time. So by the time the new year actually comes, I'm 90 days rolling into my commitments. So this year, it's crazy because I'll say it on camera because now I'll be like held accountable for it. So one of my things this year is kind of taking my body to the next level. So I'm fit and all that stuff, and I like fitness and I work out for mental health practices. But now that I've gotten into the Legacy Tribe with you and all these other folks, like, did you see everybody at our mastermind? Like, it's jacked. Crazy. Everyone's just jacked. And so we've got our coach is the founder of Fit Body Bootcamp, and it's a great group. But I'm inspired. So I've never actually
put up more photos with your shirt off.
See, my button's already ripping off. I had to put that back on real quick. No, but I'm inspired. That's one of my goals is to get jacked like Big D over here. So what are you guys got cooking for the new year?
So what's crazy is that we're working with Bedros right now, domination year, you know, and that's to 5 to 10x our business in literally 12 months. So I've been focusing on podcast coaching and whatnot. And my goal right now, we started in October, was to get all that stuff launched. We have deadlines by January. And my focus is I'll be down doing stuff in Florida and making my residence in Florida. I actually live at his house. He owns the farm. I just rent the room there for free. but, you know, he was under my roof for 18 years. Now I'm under his roof.
Yeah.
But, you know, I want to just be everywhere and be able to share my story and do what I got to do. But I started, you know, with that domination year. And I was telling the guy I was coaching on the phone, like, you know, don't wait till the new year, because if you wait till the new year, you're never going to do it. So just like you said, you know, so I think every day, every year, I write down things and write down goals and, you know, everywhere where I want to go. And I make them tangible, but I know that I have to create deadlines. And I think at the end of the day, like, I know that everything happens in time and proportion, right? So what can I do in the next 30, 60, 90 days to get to that next step and how to stay focused on it? So I just lost like 28 pounds in like the last 6 months. I had a heart attack back August 8th, 2022. And I really had to get myself right. I got high blood pressure and all this stuff. And I was still jacked. I was just big jacked, you know, and I just need to get little jacked and I don't know. I might be small one of these days, but I just keep losing. Not anytime I just keep soon. Losing weight. I went from like 260 to 230.
Big D to little D.
Yeah. But you know, my goal is just to get back to where I need to be, maybe 225, five more pounds. And you know, I'm not looking to be ultimately shredded, you know, and take pictures like you with my shirt off. You know, I'll let you.
That
do
was
it.
A Bruce Lee tribute, by the way.
I'm just messing around. But you know, for me, it's not. It's just about being healthier, number one. But it's also like because I have that. We have that gym at home. It's about you know my son works out. We're getting my daughter to work out. My girl. Everyone. We all work out, and everyone just works out in this space where, you know, we can do things together. But number one, understand the importance of it. You know, there's no excuse.
Right.
You know, but on top of that, knowing that the same thing with business, like, hey, we're all doing this domination year. We're all doing it together. We're getting involved in this together. There's no excuse. And we have to do this together because if we don't do it together, we don't hold each other accountable. Yeah. We're never going to get it done.
I love that. It's amazing. I think I have the opposite problem you do. So I'm trying to gain. So like even putting 5 pounds on for me is a struggle. So I have to really focus on that. It's so hard. It goes both ways for everybody. Yeah. You know, everyone's got their different goals. But I've never found myself in the like comparison game. Like when I talk about the group that we're in, nobody makes you feel like you have to compare yourself just because I'm smaller of that bunch. No one makes me feel like that. I don't feel bad about myself by any means. It's just I feel inspired. Yeah. Like I would love to go to the next level. I was like, you see some of the ladies in our group, they're like,
it's just that there's nobody in there that is like, what does Bejo say? Like jalopious titties, like sloppy
bastard. Gelatinous.
Gelatinous titties, whatever it is. Like just
dumb
like
dumb and ho-hos.
Yes.
Just like sloppy people. You know, everyone there like is into themselves.
Yes.
And knows that health is number one.
Yeah.
And when you put yourself first and you put your physical body first, like it doesn't matter what you look like right now, but you have the ability to change yourself. And once you change your health little bit by little bit by little bit, everything changes. Your mind changes, your body changes, your look changes, your confidence changes. Everything changes, but it starts with you.
It does.
The way that you look. And when you look at the majority of successful people, I mean, look at Elon Musk. He's working out now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Who's an Amazon guy?
Bezos.
Yeah, Bezos. Yeah.
Bezos.
He's got like a trainer and he's all jacked now, you know, and these all guys look like slob. People who are successful in life, the majority of them, they're in good shape. Because they put themselves first and they don't want to go up there and not be able to tell someone to do something that they're not doing.
Yeah. Well, it took me, I can relate because when I started my business, it was me taking steps. Like I used to drink and party and carry on back in the day and I had to make those changes to taper off. I mean, for the longest time, I thought I was an alcoholic until I realized I was just surrounding myself with the wrong people. I was like, I could take it or leave it. I was like, God, when I got to myself, I was like, I don't even drink. Yeah. I was like, holy shit. And then I just started. Well, I did take up running. I tried like years ago and it was not for me. I was like, I'll just take steps. Yeah. And so I would walk 8 miles a day and it took that.
Don't walk through 8 miles.
I was doing it. It's safe. I used to hang out there all the time. I would walk 8 miles a day. I'd put on a book, educate myself. And then like just taking those steps led to better workouts, mental clarity, better food choices. It was just one thing leads to another. Everything you say is true.
Yep.
You're a testament to it. So are you. So am I.
Yeah.
I think it just takes one step in the right
direction. And it's never too late.
No.
You know?
To jump back on them goals real fast that we were talking about.
Yeah.
One thing that I think of like about writing down goals is when I write down my goals, I write them like, I don't know really how to explain it, but I don't put like specifics into it. I'd be like, all right, like a new building. But I won't say, okay, with this size oven, this size thing, because it's like, I don't want to, maybe I'll put like a certain size and my goal will be better if I get a size 2 times bigger than that. But I don't want to put a size and then, okay, now it's only like a 10-foot oven.
Yeah, right.
Because then it seems like it like ruins it.
Yes.
And it's like, now I kind of messed myself up and then now it's all up in my head.
Because your expectation is too big if you can't reach that just
exactly.
yet. Yeah.
So that's why I'll put little things in and I'll be like, all right, I'll make this happen no matter what. Like my goal right now with Bedros, like what we set in stone, is a new building by January 1st with all new equipment going into it And I already have some clientele already set up. So other companies that'll be feeding me their work, consistent work, which is a good thing. So, but I mean, my goal on top of that goal is to get it done before January 1st.
Amazing.
So that I could say, okay, I did this.
Yeah.
And we got this done. Okay, now what's next? How are we going to get to the fourth goal a lot faster?
That's awesome. Just said, get it done before January 1st. That's the problem. When people have a deadline, you got 30 days, people wait till day 29.
Exactly. Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, but you, if you jump on top of it and you have time ahead of it, you know, hey, like, now I can start in the next one and get done earlier.
Yeah.
Yo, that's what a lot of people do. Tell him what I was like right after we left Bedros' office about this whole thing.
He's in his book. He's calling realtors. He's figuring this thing out. You know, the other day we're supposed to leave to come here. He's got graph paper. He's drawing out the oven on a graph paper. I'm like, dude, you didn't even take a shower. Like, we got to leave. What are you doing? He's like, oh, just a couple more minutes, another 30 minutes. He's drawing out this thing. I'm like, dude, we got to go.
You
know,
like, but he's got the fire in you
but
now.
But he's focused.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he knows that he's got to get it done.
Yes.
He's got no choice.
It's always time for a shower later.
Yeah. Yeah. I needed to hear from someone else that I need to be doing things bigger. Because, I mean, I listen to a lot that my dad says, but sometimes he'll say something.
I get it.
Yes, right?
Yes.
He'll say something. I'll be like, all right, man, I got it. All right. Or, don't worry about it. I'll do it. But I mean, I got to hear someone else say it.
Yeah.
Someone else got to kick me in the ass.
You can hear the same thing from five different people, but maybe it's the sixth person that it resonates for you from. It takes difference and diversity, and you got to like have those people in your circle. Well, I think too, Bedros can be kind of a hard hitter, but like I receive it from him.
Yeah.
I do.
But he's got a soft approach and he lets you know what's going on. But I tell people, like, let's say, you know, I tell my son something, I tell my girl something, you tell your girl something, your wife, husband, whatever. Like, anyone in our life that we tell them something, they see us for who we are,
right?
Not where we're trying to make them go. So it's like we don't have that level of respect. So when I try to tell him something, he knows, but he almost feels at times that I'm pushing him too hard. Oh, like it's easy for you, Dad. You know what I mean? But I just want you to be better. So I think having a coach outside of me, it's helping him because it's like, you know, I was the ball, but now I got the bat hitting him in the head.
Yeah.
You know, so like someone else is instilling. And how many times have you been out with somebody who maybe you really care about and you've been trying to tell them something for years and then someone else says it and they go, hey, did you hear that? Like, yeah, I've been trying to tell you that for how long?
Yeah.
But again, they don't hear that because their receptors aren't on because you are who you are, not who you want them to be.
Yeah. And there were so many things that I had heard years prior about me starting a business. A lot of people told me, you should start your own business. What are you doing? And I wasn't ready to receive that.
Exactly.
I wasn't there. And I wasn't paying attention to the signs either. I think that the universe will point you in the right direction, whether you like it or not. Mm-hmm. When you're not following your path, it's going to put you on it one way or another. And it's either going to be easy or hard, probably hard.
And it also depends on who tells you what to do.
Exactly.
Or what you should be doing.
Yeah.
It's like you're not going to take advice from someone not doing what you're doing or not in the same, I guess, position ranking as you either. So
absolutely. I think those are that's important to find in a coach too, because I think in the coaching space right now, that's alarming too. So we talked a little bit about the influencer space on Instagram and TikTok and YouTube and all these people it's just so flooded. There's so many options and so many people just spewing advice, you know what I mean, that don't really even know what they're talking about. And sometimes it's negative. And so in the coaching space too, I think that it's really good to vet out your coach. Like, what are some pointers that you could throw out for the audience on how to vet out a good coach like yourself?
So it's really, we were with another group for a while and, you know, the group was good, the influence was good, but the problem is that, you know, you come to find out that this group is just about like, kind of like the money, you know, and it's not about the one-on-one, the personal. So, you know, when you meet people who really want to change your life, they're going to do things and tell you things. They're going to pay attention to you. You know, when people aren't paying attention to you because you're not maybe driving up their bank account or doing things, you know, you're just kind of a little guy, you know. But when you start seeing people like myself or you or anyone else who, you know, we're little guys coming up, right? So if we're willing to give someone something and do something for someone, that holds more value. But if we can still do that in 10 years, we're going to have a lot better reputation. We're going to have a lot better respect because we're not now doing it for the fame. We're not doing it for the popularity.
Right.
That shit's all secondary. You know, what I said is if you could help enough people, you'll always be taken care of. So no matter what goes on in your life, like never, ever worry about money. Never, ever worry about anything that is going to be a financial like disappointment, because if you help enough people, you'll always be taken care of. You ever realize that?
Yeah.
Like every time you think, I don't know how I'm going to do this, But as long as you keep following your passion and following your purpose, it's always taken care of.
It's true. Always. It sounds cliche and it sounds cheesy at times. And I've told myself that over the years, but like, you got to keep the faith. It's true. It is. I think it's awesome. I'm feeling very inspired today. I'm so glad you guys came out. I want to share with the audience your links to follow you.
Okay, cool. I'm dansikowski.com. And you can find all of my platforms on there. YouTube's on there. My Instagram's on there. My TikTok's on there. Just dansikowski.com. You'll find me, everything I do. And intrepidusmovement.com as well. And everything's on there as well, all of our platforms.
That's awesome. How about the book? Amazon?
No, the book is on my site. And if you actually message me, send me a DM, I'll just send you a book.
Perfect. I'm going to do that. I expect it signed.
I got you.
How about you, Daniel?
Yeah, so me. So my personal is Daniel_Sikowski on Instagram. But my business is GEM, G-E-M, Custom Powder Coating. You could find me on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. TikTok, I put a lot on there. It shows my work, shows how I do everything. And then my website's GEM Custom Powder at GEMCustomPowder.com.
Perfect. You guys, I can't thank you enough for coming out today, making the trek from Jersey.
We appreciate the invite.
Yeah, man.
You guys are welcome back anytime. Put you up down the street. You guys come full studio time.
That's it. We'll be back next Thanksgiving.
Yes. Yeah. All right, guys. That's a wrap.